There's nothing recognizable as the shuttle orbiter. It would appear that we have had a major tragedy here. We don't have any confirmed word on the fate of the 7 crew members aboard Challenger, but it would certainly appear from what we see that there were really pieces of debris falling from the sky.
The explosion, Bob, was so calamitous that when they dispatched rescue personnel to the area of the Atlantic Ocean where the Challenger would have impacted, they didn't even allow the rescue personnel to enter that area because of the rain of falling debris that was occurring over that part of the Atlantic Ocean. Typically in that area would be the ship Liberty, the U.S. Navy ship Liberty. They are responsible for picking up the solid rocket boosters when they descend to Earth. But a horrible tragedy here at the Kennedy Space Center. About a minute after launching, the space shuttle Challenger exploded as it rose toward space.
Stations along the AP network line, we're going to pause for a newscast here. This is continuing live coverage of the shuttle explosion. This is AP Network News. I'm Bob Moon, along with Dick Uliano at the Kennedy Space Center, and the top story at this hour is a tragedy for the space shuttle program. About a minute into launch, the space shuttle Challenger, which lifted off the pad, pad 39B here at the Kennedy Space Center, exploded about a minute into launch. It would appear from videotaped replays that it exploded in fragments. The AP's Dick Uliano is with me now to describe what he saw.
The ascent off the launch pad, Bob, seemed to be fine, and so far Mission Control has confirmed that there were what NASA calls no anomalies or no problems. We watched for the space shuttle to roll slightly to the right and arch over the Atlantic. It did that. And in the VIP stands, we could see Krista McAuliffe's parents, Ed and Grace Corrigan, laughing, happy, because everything was going fine. A tail of flame, long plume of white smoke, and then suddenly, about a minute, an explosion. And then what we saw were two flames shooting off, one right, one left. These would be what was left of the solid rocket boosters. There was the sky was just full of this white smoke from the explosion, and then beneath it, hanging like strings, were drifting apparently pieces of debris, all that was left of the Space Shuttle Challenger and 7 crew members who were aboard.
The word from NASA is that they really don't know what happened at this point. They are checking their data to see if they can find out. In the meantime, they have dispatched crews into the area where they tracked an impact of the debris. But at this point, there is no word on the fate of the crew. We are hearing reports from congressional sources that they don't believe there are any survivors.
From the look of the explosion, apparently everyone aboard was killed. At the controls of the shuttle was Commander Dick Scobie of Washington State. He is a veteran astronaut. The pilot was Michael Smith. He was a rookie. Also on the flight deck, mission specialist Judy Resnick. The other mission specialists aboard, Ellison Onizuka and Ron McNair. Two payload specialists, Greg Jarvis of Hughes Aircraft, and Krista McAuliffe, the 37-year-old teacher from Concord, New Hampshire.
And from the Kennedy Space Center, this is AP Network News.
I'm Cynthia Hecht. President Reagan delivers his State of the Union message tonight. The Challenger tragedy is not expected to change that, but spokesman Larry Speake says he's sure the president will feel compelled to mention this. He's met with President Reagan. Now the Soviet leader apparently wants to hear what a leading American Democrat has to say. Luis Schiavone reports an influential senator has been invited to Moscow.
The Supreme Soviet is asking Senator Edward Kennedy to visit Moscow for talks with Soviet leaders, and the Massachusetts Democrat plans to make that trip later in this week. Kennedy serves on the Senate Armed Services Committee and participates in the panel's observer group following arms control talks in Geneva. This would be Kennedy's third such trip to Moscow. In 1974 and 1978, he went to the Soviet Union for talks with Leonid Brezhnev. While in Moscow this time, Kennedy expects to meet with Soviet leader Gorbachev. Arms control is expected to dominate their talks. Luis Schiavone, AP Network News, Capitol Hill.
One monster of a storm is delivering heavy snow and freezing rain to the northeast, and it's stretching down the coast into Dixie. Since Sunday, the storm is blamed for 11 deaths from New York to Alabama. The icy grip on the Sunshine State shattered at least three record low temperatures today, but it apparently did not deliver the feared knockout blow to citrus farmers still struggling from killer freezes of the past 2 years. Ernie Neff of Florida Citrus Mutual says the freeze should not have much of an impact on consumers.
The freeze was not as bad as we had anticipated, and as a result, most areas of the citrus belt escaped the freeze. And we feel that there has been a good supply of fresh citrus left for our domestic and export markets.
The state's $1 billion-a-year wholesale citrus crop would be destroyed if temperatures stayed below 28 for 4 to 6 hours. In the words of one citrus official, every degree and every hour is critical. Recapping our top story, tragedy as Space Shuttle Challenger tries to make it into orbit after several delays. The shuttle exploded into a gigantic fireball moments after liftoff from the Kennedy Space Center today, apparently killing all seven crew members, including Krista McAuliffe, the woman chosen from a field of 11,000 to be the first teacher in space. NASA has sent rescue crews to the area off the Cape where the shuttle went down. Recovery efforts are underway. President Reagan is said to have received the news with stunned silence. With Bob Moon and Dick Giuliano at the Kennedy Space Center, I'm Cynthia Hecht, AP Network News.
And this is continuing live coverage of the shuttle explosion. If you are just joining us, the shuttle Challenger exploded on launch today, about a minute into the launch. The word from NASA is that they don't know exactly what happened, and there is no word on the fate of the crew. They have dispatched ships into the Atlantic where the remains of the shuttle were tracked. But we have no word on the fate of the crew. It is believed, according to congressional sources who are in contact with NASA officials, that there were no survivors. The AP's Mark Smith is standing by now with a recap of some of the reaction that we have heard so far this day.
Well, Bob, I think it probably would be logical to start with President Reagan. The president was in a meeting with his top aides this morning when the shuttle exploded shortly after takeoff. Told what happened, he immediately broke off the meeting in the Oval Office, went to his small study to watch developments on television. He is said to be waiting for word of the astronauts' fate, but in the meantime, presidential spokesman Larry Speaks has come out to brief reporters, and as you might expect, he says that the president was stunned.
Quite frankly, the president was stood there in almost stunned silence as he watched the television. You could certainly read the concern, the sorrow, the anxiety on his face as he watched, and the group watched around him. As I say, he was virtually watched in silence.
Speaks said he expects further statements from the White House once NASA has determined what has happened to the crew. He said he did not anticipate, though, any change in the president's plan to deliver his State of the Union speech to Congress tonight, but he added, "I'm sure the president will feel compelled to mention this." Also, we hear via people at the White House that First Lady Nancy Reagan was watching the launch alone in the family quarters when the explosion took place, and her reaction was equally stunned. General Chuck Yeager, the pilot for whom the Right Stuff was named, has already given us his reaction. His comment upon this is that there's really no way to prepare for disasters like the one that happened this morning. We spoke to him at his home in Grass Valley, California, 50 miles northeast of Sacramento. Yeager said he saw a videotape of the explosion. He compared it to the tragedy in 1967 that happened on the launch pad when the Apollo crew of Gus Grissom and his two colleagues was killed. He said the space program recovered from that tragedy and will do so again. I'll quote from Yeager here: "It's just like the Apollo that wiped out Gus Grissom. They'll have to analyze the problem, make some decisions, but I don't think this is the end of the space program, no." And words of courage, as you might expect from a famous test pilot. Another person who's been aboard, who's been aloft in space, Congressman Bill Nelson, was watching on television. The congressman, if you recall, was the last member of Congress to climb on board the shuttle. He and Senator Jake Garn, both of whom have responsibility for oversight of the NASA program, have flown in the shuttle. Congressman Nelson was watching at his Capitol Hill office, walls of which are decked with color photographs. And Congressman Nelson's aide, Press Secretary Dickerson, said it was really just dead silence in the room when the accident took place. No one said a word. The TV spoke for itself. Apparently, by the way, Congressman Nelson was in the middle of a meeting with the House Science Space Subcommittee, of which he's chairman, when the accident took place. We also have reaction from Concord, New Hampshire. Neighbors and fans of Krista McAuliffe, the school teacher who was on board the shuttle this morning. Allison Curling was watching the shuttle launch. She is one of the neighbors. And she said that she and other neighbors, of course, were crowded around their TV sets, and everybody was cheering at first. And all of a sudden, somebody shouted out, "Wait a second, there's a lot of flames." Curling, who is 35, thousands of others in Concord, a city of about 30,000, have spent months celebrating Krista's choice as a space shuttle astronaut and, of course, following her rigorous training for the mission and her plans to teach lessons in space. And, of course, they're all devastated up there today. Also, reaction from Moscow, the Soviet news agency TASS, or I guess we should say lack of reaction. So far, the Soviet news agency TASS has issued just a one-sentence report on the explosion. The initial report, which carried a New York dateline, by the way, said the Challenger exploded shortly after takeoff. The Soviet Union is the only other nation that has sent manned vehicles into space, and we should also note that in 1967, they suffered a tragedy of their own. Vladimir Komarov was killed when his Soyuz 1 spacecraft crashed after re-entry. If you recall, the Soviets, when they land their vehicles, they have them parachute back down onto a hard landing on Earth. In 1971, also, three Soviet cosmonauts died aboard the Soyuz 11 capsule when it depressurized during re-entry of the Earth's atmosphere. A faulty valve was blamed for causing the deaths of Georgi Dobrovolsky, Vladislav Volkov, and Viktor Patsayev. And lastly, we don't know exactly how to report this, but we should also mention that Krista McAuliffe, the New Hampshire school teacher who was aboard today, was given a gift of a $1 million personal accident insurance policy from an international satellite and space insurance firm. That policy was donated last week by Karoon and Black in Space Incorporated. It included all of McAuliffe's activities while she was a passenger on board the space shuttle. And Bob, I think that is about all we can tell you at the moment of reaction from around the world. Obviously, we're expecting more as the day goes along. So once again, let's go back to Bob Moon at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Bob?
Thank you, Mark. And we'll say that AP correspondent David Tirowaisaki is joining us now. He hails from New Hampshire, where Krista McAuliffe taught high school. And David was in the stands, the VIP stands, this morning when the tragedy occurred. David, maybe you can recap briefly the scene there.
Bob, at first, of course, there was excitement. The children, 19 third graders in the class of Krista McAuliffe's son, Scott, extended their trip to be here today. They originally had planned to leave earlier. Others in the stands also had extended their trip. They saw the launch, they cheered, they saw the explosion, and they cheered. They thought it was the separation of the solid rocket boosters from the rocket. Yesterday they were disappointed because they thought if there had been a launch, they wouldn't have seen that separation because of the cloud cover. It's a normally dramatic part of a launch. That's what they thought they were witnessing. But immediately after, they saw zigzag lines, and some began to wonder if that was normal or not. They said later that they had never seen things like that on TV.
And
so they knew that something, or they thought or suspected anyway, that something might have been different about this launch.
And Krista's parents, we understand, were in those grandstands.
Ed and Grace Corrigan are down for the launch from Framingham, Massachusetts. They stood arm in arm during the launch, watching. They saw the explosion also, and of course didn't realize what it was at first. Heard the announcement there had been a major malfunction, and stayed pretty much the same. They were standing there arm in arm in the stands until an official from NASA climbed up a couple of steps into the stands and walked over to them and said, "The vehicle has exploded." Mrs. Corrigan looked back at him in disbelief and repeated his words, but repeated them as a question. "The vehicle has exploded?" He nodded his head yes, and he led the Corrigans away. Some of Krista McAuliffe's colleagues from Concord, teaching union officials were there. One person, David Staples, who's head of the Concord Teachers Association, said he was fighting back tears. He was a person he taught with in school. He came here to see what everyone thought would lift the excitement for education, lift the excitement for the common person traveling in space, and it turned to horror right in front of their eyes.
We are going to be continuing our live coverage. We're going to break momentarily, break in programming briefly, and then be coming back. And David will stay with us. He's got some taped reaction from some of the VIPs here at the Kennedy Space Center who were watching that launch, some of the guests of NASA. To recap briefly now as we head into a break in our live coverage of the shuttle explosion, that is indeed what happened. The Space Shuttle Challenger exploded today after lifting off the launch pad. It was about a minute into its flight when suddenly something went terribly wrong. There was no indication that there was any problem until that point, and suddenly there was an explosion. The shuttle appeared to explode in fragments in the air. From the ground, there was a view of one of the solid rocket boosters, those pencil-like rockets that are on the side of the shuttle, veering off on its own long before it was supposed to separate from the spacecraft, and then a separate trail of steam and smoke. We're not sure if that was the other solid rocket booster or if it was the shuttle. It was tracked into the Atlantic, made impact into the Atlantic, and crews were sent in. We're still waiting for word on the fate of the crew, and we're still waiting for word from NASA on just what went wrong. From the Kennedy Space Center, this is continuing live coverage of the shuttle explosion. I'm Bob Moon, and this is the AP Radio Network.
The stock market is pausing at mid-session, taking in the news of the space shuttle disaster. After rising sharply in the early going, stock prices are pulling back when the market learned the shuttle exploded shortly after takeoff. On the big board, advancing issues still hold about a 4-3 lead over losers on a very heavy trading volume of 93 million shares. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 4.24 at 1541.85. A unit of the Lockheed Corporation manages the ground processing of the shuttle, including the refurbishing of the vehicle after landing and refueling and preparing it for its next launch. Officials of Lockheed say they have no immediate comment on today's explosion. Lockheed stock, meanwhile, has slipped 1.75%, trading at $45 a share. Other shuttle-related stocks are showing some losses as well. Rockwell International, which manufactured the shuttle itself, is off 1.75% at $33.50 a share, and trading in Morton Thiokol has been halted altogether. That firm played a role in producing the booster motors for the Space Shuttle Challenger. Elsewhere on Wall Street today, investors have a couple earnings reports to digest. AT&T says profits rose 14% for all of 1985, in spite of a slight dip in earnings in the final quarter. And Exxon, the world's largest corporation, saw earnings tumble 12% for all of last year. Exxon officials say strong profits in petroleum operations helped offset lower earnings in the chemicals unit. With the Business Barometer, I'm Mary Belton.
And from the Kennedy Space Center, this is continuing AP Network News live coverage of the shuttle explosion, the shuttle Challenger exploding this morning on launch. We continue now with reaction that our correspondent, the AP correspondent from the Concord, New Hampshire Bureau, David Tirowaisaki, was in the grandstands with some of the New Hampshire guests of NASA. David, again, if you can carry on with some of the scene there.
The people in the stands were friends, colleagues, and family members of Krista McAuliffe. I spoke with a couple of people after they left the bleachers. I should mention that also in the stands, before we get to their friends, there were some of the 114 semifinalists, the teachers from across the country who almost had a shot at being on this shuttle. 114 of them were semifinalists, 10 finalists. Krista McAuliffe was the one picked. Several were leaning against the railings as if they needed help in staying on their feet. They were shaking their heads, they were wiping away tears, and they were sobbing. David Staples is president of the Concord Teachers Association, of which Krista McAuliffe was a member in Concord, New Hampshire.
Well, I'm fighting to hold back tears today right now because it is very, very tragic. I'm horrified.
Also with David Staples was Melvin Myler. He's the executive director of the New Hampshire Education Association's chapter. He was there with his small son, Jason. Here's Melvin Myler.
Unbelievable.
Mel, what went through your mind when you saw it?
I can't believe it. I mean, this joy just suddenly comes to tear. I mean, here's a woman you know, and you wonder what must be going on. I thought the family initially, and the mother and father who we just had met, and I just couldn't believe it.
They were standing in the bleachers about three or four rows behind Ed and Grace Corrigan, the parents of Krista McAuliffe. Mel Myler there was there with his son Jason, a small boy, probably second or third grade. It was not the time to ask ages, but Jason said he looked up. He's watched space launches on TV. He said he saw the zigzag line, wondered what it was shocked when he heard, and he said the first thought he had was, I wondered if they saved them.
Correspondent David Terawisaki, who was in the grandstands with some of the invited guests here to watch this morning's launch of the Space Shuttle Challenger that went awry, exploded about a minute into the launch. In Washington, D.C., Senator Jake Garn, who was the first senator to fly into space last year, some 9 months ago, reacted on Capitol Hill, and this is what he had to say.
Well, it's very difficult for me to talk about it because these were my friends. Mike Smith, the pilot, was my mother hen the first month that I trained. They assigned him to me, go to my classes and help brief me. And I don't know of any time that I have been more shocked or more moved than when my first wife was killed in an automobile accident. And so it's been very, very difficult for me this morning.
What does this do to the space program here and its support on the Hill, Senator?
Well, I have great confidence in the space program. I think it's a remarkable system, and I think we should push ahead after we have determined the cause. Obviously, we should not fly until we have determined the cause of this particular failure, but I think we need to look at all of the successes, the remarkable safety record that the space program has had, the benefits that come from it. And the crew members that I knew so well, I would expect that they would want us to go ahead with the space program after we have gone through the proper investigations and analysis and know what happened.
Senator Jake Garn obviously shaken by this morning's developments. Senator Garn was, as you may be aware, the first U.S. senator to fly in space. He flew aboard the shuttle Discovery some 9 months ago. And as you heard him say, he was stricken by the fact that these were his friends, people who he had met in training for the shuttle program. As a senator, he was in charge of the committee that oversees NASA. The AP's Dick Uliano, again, has been gathering what information is available, and there still is not much available on what happened here today.
There's little. NASA does not know what caused the explosion that apparently destroyed the Orbiter Challenger and the entire space shuttle configuration. Bob, I did want to mention that after viewing slow motion video, what we could see on the video, first it's important to describe what the shuttle looks like. We have that fat rust-colored fuel tank, the orange rust-colored fuel tank. Attached to that is the belly of the orbiter, the space shuttle, the Challenger, the orbiter itself. That's where the crew is. And on the sides, as long as a railroad tank car, on either side we have the solid rocket boosters. Now, the slow motion video revealed before the huge explosion, there may have been two flashes on either side of the orbiter. Now, this, again, we don't know what caused the explosion, but this could indicate, Bob, that it could have been touched off by the explosives that are placed between the solid rocket boosters and the orbiter, rather the external fuel tank, because 2.5 minutes into its flight, the space shuttle is to blast away these solid rocket boosters after they've spent their fuel, and they do that with tiny explosives. They blow off the solid rocket boosters, and little thrusters push them away so they're not in the shuttle's way. Now, in the slow motion video, at the point where these explosives could be located, we see at least one tiny flash on the right side of the space shuttle configuration, possibly another flash on the left side. I also mentioned earlier that the shuttle is lined with ordnance explosives. In the event that it goes awry, it's off course and heading toward a populated area. So there's plenty of explosives in the space shuttle, there's plenty of fuel, and we don't know for certain what caused the explosion that apparently killed all seven crew members.
Again, what was left of the shuttle was tracked to fall into the Atlantic Ocean. Ships were sent in, paramedics parachuting in to the area, we understood, and there is no word yet on their fate. I presume we're waiting for more updates from NASA from their commentators, but I presume that that search is continuing at this point. We had heard earlier from a congressional source that NASA did not believe there was a chance of survivors.
NASA said that the fine pieces of debris continued to fall into the impact area of the Atlantic Ocean for about 45 minutes, because we learned at that point recovery boats and aircraft and medevac personnel had to wait until the debris stopped before they could even enter the area. Paramedics leaped into the water looking for any trace of survivors.
We could see that debris falling, a shower of apparently pieces of the space shuttle trailed by steam, smoke as they fell back toward the Earth.
And also, Bob, still rising, shooting off to the left, one to the left and one to the right, were those white solid rocket boosters. And some people suggest that they even saw one of those solid rocket boosters shoot out its parachute and begin to descend. So it's conceivable that the solid rocket boosters themselves were not completely destroyed in the crash. But, you know, the orbiter, where the crew is, three of them on the flight deck and four in the mid deck, the orbiter itself is affixed to that external fuel tank that holds 500,000 gallons of fuel. And when that fuel tank blew, and that's apparently what went, was the fuel tank, it's difficult to imagine.
There's little left to the imagination, really, at that point. We might say that NASA always opts for safety in launching the shuttle missions. There have been 24 successful shuttle missions before this one, and in many cases we have seen delays, up to 7 delays on the last mission, as a matter of fact, as NASA made sure that everything was just perfect. We have seen missions the first mission of Discovery, for example, which was halted after they had ignited the shuttle's main engines. They had been ignited, and a computer shut them down midstream as before the shuttle lifted off the pad. Again, computer redundancy built in here for safety's sake. NASA can also has also planned in emergency measures should something go awry while the shuttle is up in the air and the shuttle be able to make it to other landing sites. Dick, it can land either back here if it's close enough at the Kennedy Space Center, or overseas.
It has numerous what they call abort modes. The one that the public may be most familiar with is the one that was utilized, ironically, by this orbiter, Challenger, back in June 29th of 1985. That is called abort to orbit. It is the safest abort. That is where something happens well into the ascent, and the shuttle commander is asked to seek a lower emergency orbit and circle the globe. As you mentioned, they can make a transatlantic abort. There is also an RTLS, which is return to launch site. Bob, from what we saw, aborts were moot. There was simply no time.
Just no warning.
There was just a simple catastrophic explosion as the shuttle rose approximately 1 minute after leaving its launch pad.
And, of course, assuming that there had been time to react, aside from those abort measures where they can try, and, of course, it's never been attempted, but they can try to steer the shuttle, which is when it goes into its orbiter status without the rockets, is an unpowered glider, really. Aside from trying to reach one of those emergency landing sites, there's very little that can be done. As Dick says, three passengers sit on the flight deck, another four passengers, in this case, sitting on the mid-deck. There are no ejection seats should something go wrong. There had been ejection seats for Columbia early in the shuttle program when it was still in the test stages. They were removed when they started flying more people on the shuttle missions. Simply because it's not technically possible to have ejection seats on two different decks.
And, Bob, yeah, I think, if I'm correct, I think there was also a feeling on the part of NASA planners that the ejection seats were not all that practical, that if something did happen upon ascent, it would be something quick, such as we had today, and the ejection seats simply wouldn't help anybody in that event anyway.
Dick, once again, for the benefit of those who may have joined us late, the shuttle Challenger exploded in the air about a minute after it launched today from the Kennedy Space Center, launch pad 39B, a new second launch pad which was being used for the first time. There were 7 crew members aboard the space shuttle.
The commander was Dick Scobie, who is an experienced NASA astronaut. He is from Washington State, and he was born in 1939. He's the father of 2 children. Also, Scobie, I should mention, as the commander, was an Air Force man, a civilian now, by the way. He retired from the Air Force, but he was awarded the Air Force Distinguished Flying Cross, the Air Medal, and 2 NASA Exceptional Service Medals. His colleague on the flight deck, Michael Smith, a Navy man, a commander in the United States Navy, born 1945 from Beaufort, North Carolina, and Michael Smith, married, and the father of 3 children.
And those were the commander and the pilot aboard the spacecraft. There were 5 other people, 2 other astronauts, and 2 what are known as payload specialists. We're going to break again for stations along the line, and we will be continuing our coverage. This is continuing live coverage of the shuttle explosion from the AP radio network.
A major disaster in the nation's space program. I'm Leslie Sawyer with an AP News Watch. The Space Shuttle Challenger finally got off the launch pad today, but within seconds it was clear something had gone horribly wrong. AP's Bob Moon was narrating the launch at Cape Canaveral.
1 minute 15 seconds. Velocity 2,900 feet per second. Altitude 9.
Something went wrong here. We've got a problem with what looks like a second plume of smoke.
We do have a problem, Bob. It looks as if one of the solid, it may have lost a solid rocket booster. It's hard to tell.
There are 2 separate plumes of smoke in the shuttle. We can't tell which one the shuttle is now. They've separated.
The vehicle apparently exploded. And at a point approximately 28.64 degrees north, 80.
In the stands, cheers turned to screams and tears, as they did at a high school in Concord, New Hampshire, where students of teacher Krista McAuliffe's watched the launch on TV. McAuliffe's husband and children were believed to be watching the launch from a VIP area at the Kennedy Space Center. There's no official word on the fate of the crew, but it would appear there are no survivors. The tank carried more than 500,000 gallons of volatile liquid hydrogen and oxygen when it lifted off the launch pad. Nevertheless, rescue teams are now in the area of the Atlantic where debris from the shuttle continued to fall from the sky more than 45 minutes after the explosion. Like the rest of the country, President Reagan is shocked at the shuttle accident. The White House says Reagan was notified of the accident while at a meeting with top advisors. He immediately rushed to a TV set to get more details. The White House says Reagan will likely go ahead as scheduled with his State of the Union address tonight. It was 19 years ago yesterday, 3 astronauts died in a launch pad fire as their Apollo spacecraft underwent a test run of an upcoming mission. But today's tragedy marks the first in-flight disaster for the nation's space program. I'm Leslie Sawyer, AP Network News.
This is AP Network News, Washington, with your 1:32 Eastern Time closed circuit news feed with cuts 172 through 193. Your billboard moved in 2 takes. This feed includes a 2-minute wrap-up report on the shuttle tragedy. That's cut 193. For some stations, especially slow-speed stations, you may not have your billboard as yet because the wire system is quite backed up with copy related to the shuttle tragedy. So a lot of the regular copy is not getting out as quickly as it normally does. We suggest you roll an open reel tape on this feed if you do not have your billboard yet, and then you can pick the cuts out a little bit later. So we'll roll the cuts now, beginning with cut 172.
Number 172.
1 minute 15 seconds, velocity 2,900 feet per second, altitude 9.
Something went wrong here. We've got a problem with what looks like a second plume of smoke.
We do have a problem, Bob. It looks as if one of the solid, it may have lost a solid rocket booster. It's hard to tell.
There are two separate plumes of smoke in the shuttle. We can't tell which one the shuttle is now. They've separated.
Number 173.
The view from the ground is obscured by this pillar of steam now.
We have no downlink.
Something's gone terribly wrong.
If you're just joining us, the Space Shuttle Challenger has just lifted off the pad, and we've had a problem here, a major problem. We're getting no telemetry, no data back from the shuttle, according to what we're hearing from Mission Control. It appeared that something separated. There may have been an explosion.
Number 174.
Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction. We have no downlink.
Number 175.
We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
Number 176.
We have a report relayed through the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. We are now looking at all the contingency operations and awaiting word from any recovery forces in the downrange field.
Number 177.
Reports from the flight dynamics officer indicate that the vehicle apparently exploded and that impact in the water at a point approximately 28.64 degrees north, 80.28 degrees west.
Number 178.
Range safety equipment. Recovery vehicles intended for the recovery of the SRB in the general area. Those parachutes are believed to be paramedics going into that area.
Number 179.
According to a poll by the Flight Director Jay Green of the positions here in Mission Control, there were no anomalous indications, no indications of problems with the engines or with the SRBs or with any of the other systems at that moment through the point at which we lost data. Again, this is preliminary information.
Number 180.
Apparently exploded.
Oh, no!
At a point approximately 28.64 degrees north, 80.
Oh, they're going to heaven! Oh,
Number 181.
Quite frankly, the president was stood there in almost stunned silence as he watched the television. You could certainly read the concern, the sorrow, the anxiety on his face as he watched, and the group watched around him. As I say, he was virtually watched in silence.
Number 182.
It was something that was on all of our minds that we did have the first teacher in space, really the first civilian, so to speak, other than our members of Congress who have flown in space, and certainly that's on our mind.
Number 183.
The United States has met adversity many times before in the space program. It is one of the most effective and successful programs of that type that any country has ever undertaken.
Number 184.
The House of Representatives convened at noon Eastern Time. As usual, the session opened with a prayer by the House Chaplain, the Reverend James David Ford. This time, there was a special message.
And at this special moment, let us remember in silent prayer those who were involved in the spacecraft shuttle accident just a few minutes ago off Florida. Let us pray.
The House was to have considered a few non-controversial bills, but in deference to the occasion, the House recessed for a few hours. Nora Wolf, Capitol Hill.
Number 185.
And at this special moment, let us remember in silent prayer those who were involved in the spacecraft shuttle accident just a few minutes ago off Florida. Let us pray.
More on the tragic story out of Cape Canaveral this morning. Seven members apparently killed as Challenger.
Number 186.
Well, we're facing the potential of a tragedy of major proportions, obviously for the McAuliffe family and friends, but a real shockwave of grief has covered the entire city. At this time, we can only turn to the one being who can truly help. We're all praying for Krista and for the other members of the crew.
Number 187.
We're all praying for Krista and for the other members of the crew. And we're trying to comfort each other in this time of potentially great sorrow.
Number 188.
The community really is waiting at this point in time. If we get some news, we're either going to have a major celebration, and we're going to be very thankful. We're going to be very, very sad indeed.
Number 189.
At this point in time, we have received a number of phone calls asking what's happening here in Concord. Entire community is hoping and praying, and we're waiting to hear some official word as to Krista's condition. It's really a time of waiting and praying.
Number 190.
It's not often that a teacher is at a loss for words. I know my students wouldn't think so. I've made 9 wonderful friends over the last 2 weeks. And when that shuttle goes, they might be one body. But there's going to be 10 souls that I'm taking with me.
Number 191.
It really hasn't hit me yet. I'm still kind of floating. I don't know when I'll come down to Earth, but I feel wonderful. And with the support of these people behind me, it's great.
Number 192.
Well, I am so excited to be here. We watched Columbia go over the Houston area this morning, and that was a thrill. I don't think any teacher has ever been more ready to have two lessons in my life. I've been preparing these since September, and I just hope everybody tunes in on day four now to watch the teacher teaching from space.
Number 193.
No anomalies. That is NASA's term for everything as usual.